Are you visiting in the city, or you are passing through, or just visiting?
Papa!
He looks sort of like, I have a Justin, Neil Carlson. Mm-hmm. He looks like him, but this guy's a little bit bigger than me.
Papa!
Papa, who's he?
It is me! Duh!
We have somebody that does this.
Well, so you're just, you remind me of my Justin. So, doesn't he look like Justin, Jody?
I am Justin.
You couldn't be. Well, stand up again. Maybe you are. Hello, Patty.
I am.
Okay, then sit down. Hey, Trevor, how about five? How about six? How about seven? How about eight? Good morning, Jean. Teresa.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good to see you. Jake, you drove your little new bug.
It's the only thing I have. I don't have anything else.
What happened?
Sold it.
Oh, you got rid of your own. What was it?
Sometimes twice, now it'll be more than 3 times.
No, we don't.
Why not?
No, it's 3 out of 6, so it'll probably be Tuesday, or it'll be Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday.
Is that a huge
car?
Hey! I don't know.
So we'll spend more money on gas than we normally do.
Well, that keeps our economy running.
High octane stuff, that $1.70 stuff.
Yeah, I won't run without it. Huh?
Mm-hmm. I figure out a way to do that, but they always don't do it.
Well, you could run it, but it would be sluggish, wouldn't it? You got it out. You won't even run it.
It'll run about a tank full, and then after that, start fouling the plugs out.
Well, that's what we call preventive. Running it right. You what? That's all you're talking about to me. That's your problem.
Papa, did Grammy forget something? Like she forget?
A movie.
Oh, yeah, that other funny movie.
I asked Grammy to keep talking to people over here about Rock Run. And he said no. And I said, well, it's bad for us to have it now. So, Friday night.
Don't hang on the door.
I saw the kids out there. And he really got off to the mother came out.
Trevor.
Blamed her about all the rocks growing. When I came back, I said I'll be back. So actually, I didn't mean to cut my back to this point. It wasn't that close. So I made the turn and came back. They did it. All the rocks, it really looks nice, but the front, all the way
south to the top.
But they're still in the flower bed. Mm-hmm. But just for them to pick up what they picked up,
there's 3 or 4 days.
Yeah. So I was really pleased.
Well, they aren't back, and when I came yesterday, the water.
Your parents?
They did not move off the porch.
Somebody said something to him.
Well, anyway, so said he was still talking.
No running in here.
Okay. Yesterday, when I picked up the chicken,
running in here, Justin.
They had a flea market going on.
Oh, you!
And still had it put for a day. But I did not know it was still recognizing that far away. And then as I was leaving, I looked over there, and I didn't even recognize it. Something like that. Apparently he's moved to Florida without even telling his other buddy. And I said, well, you're still part of Pan American Ministries? And he said, yes. And I said, well, where's that part of the headquarters? And he offered all the time. But anyway, there's no contact with him. And he needed to be somebody. Well, like a cover song. And I said, well, I'd be very pleased, very honored.
Mike.
My goodness, you remind me of Mike.
You look almost just like Mike.
Yeah.
How's it going, man?
Good.
Are there any people behind me?
No, I came solo today.
Coming solo?
Did you come on your motorcycle?
Yeah.
No. Motorcycle or car?
You brought the car.
Are you taking me
on the floor? No, I'm just going to tie you on the roof. Tie you up on the roof rack. Because that was spare luggage.
Why not?
The girls are supposed to get home from a softball tournament in Lemoore sometime. Late morning, early afternoon.
Lemoore, what a lovely place.
Yeah. Yeah, she said the girls were amazed. I guess the dugouts were sprinkled. They had the misters in the dugouts. So I thought that was quite the deal.
That's new for them, huh?
Yeah.
Hot place over there.
Justin, don't run.
Everything.
What's the word? My Bible. I'm saving it for my grandma.
It's still hot.
Well, she called this morning. It was 8:20 in the morning and it was 96. And it's going to be 111 something.
Mike, that was ball game.
Yeah, that was basketball tournament. They were pissed. Yeah. Actually,
it was not pretty.
It was mostly because our girls couldn't shoot. The shooting percentage had to be like
50%.
I've gone through 100,000
cases.
It might help me to know.
They just still won. They beat us because they had their defense was really good. Their defense was great, but they were just kind of shooting. I think combined shooting was maybe 11%. Them getting strong, less getting by. It wasn't good.
Justin, I feel like they need to be taught.
6 foot eight, maybe higher. She's hard. I know guys are 6 foot. And
they're right about here.
Yeah, she seems a notch above that.
It's a blue heart.
It's a tall, thin thing. Yeah, I dream that.
Pending, somewhere in there.
There she is.
There's not too many people here to be
careful.
That's about it. So you don't have to feel nervous about that, do you?
Oh, is everybody going to throw up on me too?
No. This is about it.
His kids are only supposed to be like 5 or 6. I don't want to look at
her. I think he's going to take it.
I'm known to take the office.
Papa, is this it of church?
We'll have 2 or 3 more people. I don't do that. No, I think it's fine. We know we'll have 2 or 3 more. And we're hoping for a whole lot. We're hoping for and praying for a lot more.
Okay.
There's some new people right here. Praise the Lord. Morning.
Hello. keep up?
No.
No?
I can't.
Thank you.
This morning I'm going to read from Zechariah 9. The Lord says, because of my covenant with you that was sealed by the blood of sacrifices, I will set your people free. Free from the waterless pit of exile. Return, you exiles who now have hope. Return to your place of safety. Now I tell you that I will repay you twice over with blessings for all you have suffered.
The word of the Lord. Let's bow and pray, may we? Father, we thank you for your word, a word of encouragement, a word for today, though written so many years ago. We thank you that you are the God of yesterday, and you are the God of today, and you will be the God of tomorrow. And our purpose today, Lord, is just to come and to worship you and just praise you and adore you and tell you how much we love you and to thank you for bringing us safely through another week. We do praise you, Lord Jesus. We bless you. We thank you that you've sent your Holy Spirit to guide us and to convict us and to comfort us and to be the workings of such of a Holy Spirit. And for we who have gathered here today, I ask that we put aside all of the cares and frustrations and perplexities that we might have brought into this meeting place, put them aside so that we can totally, reverently, completely worship you in spirit and in truth. We bless you, Father. We thank you for this new day. We've never had it before, and we look forward to what you're doing and what you will do this hour with us and in the hours ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Greg and Patty and Jean and wherever there you are, thank you for holding the fort down last week in our absence. And we appreciate Mike coming this Sunday to deliver the Word of God to us. We do have some prayer requests that have come to us, and we want to be faithful to pray for these people.
The Stacys, can you update us on the prayer requests that we got email?
Caitlin developed a cyst in her leg, and she says, the doctor said he doesn't think it's anything, but you know a mother who worries. So she asked prayer for Caitlin. And Gary's father is rather ill, and Sarah is concerned about his depression over it. Very depressed over it.
Gary
is very concerned. So those are the two requests she asked.
Let's bow and pray for Gary, Sarah, and Caitlin in this situation. Let's just go together to the Lord, all of us. Lord, we just ask your blessing upon the Stacy family where they are. Though the distance is great between here and Illinois, we just pray that you would touch that little girl and you would heal that little girl in Jesus' name. And for Gary, who is depressed over the illness of his father, we just pray that the word that he knows would come alive in his heart and that he would just trust you. And we ask your healing and touch upon his dad, wherever his dad is. In Jesus' name, we just bless you, Father, that you are a God that heals, comforts, and we pray your special blessing upon you. Stacy family right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And then to be faithful with others who have asked us to pray for my webpage, Jamie in Texas has an alcoholic husband who is getting better but who is still in need of prayer. She said, Pastor, please have the church pray for my husband. So let's pray for Jamie and Jamie's husband, who is John. They live in Texas.
Lord, we are faithful to praise people who've asked us to lift them up. We lift up Jamie, who was holding the fort down with her husband, who was returning to alcohol. You are the God who frees, and we just are asking that this bondage of alcoholism be broken in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus right now. That you would touch John as he has accepted you as your Savior, and that being a born-again believer, you would now strengthen him to do what he has to do to overcome this addiction. In Jesus' name, Father, for this family, we've asked you to pray for them, and we do, in Jesus' name. And we thank you that there will be results favorably, according to your promise. In Jesus' name. And then from Pakistan, the work with the Christian movement there, which Christians are under great persecution, and also another note from India, they're asking that we pray for them. So let's lift up these two parties, Pakistan and India, the contact that we've made with them. And names slip me right now, but the work in Pakistan, where remember the 27-year-old boy was arrested for speaking about Jesus, and he was being executed. And then the work in Pakistan. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that the gospel is in mode there in these two countries. And though the Muslim influence is so great, we are thanking you, Jesus, that you are even greater than the factions that are there. And for these two dear pastors who have asked our church to pray, we pray, God, for the work that the spread of Christianity, though so minor and so minute right now, would gain momentum. And even by our praying, we would give them encouragement to keep on keeping on. And you would greatly bless the work that's being done by these two pastors in Pakistan and India. So thank you, Jesus, and for faithful to your word. For these two pastors, we just lift them up, God, in the name of Jesus. We pray you would undergird them, you would support them, you would help them with their health, with their preaching, with their finances, and with all these things that are related to their ministry. God, thank you for the people that are being saved in India and in Pakistan. We bless you for that. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Are there other prayer requests that we have from our body here this morning? Anyone?
Can I get 15 challenges?
Okay. Jody is applying for teen challenge, and it looks like there's going to be an opening for her.
Oh, praise God.
So, let's just, would you just put your hand for Jody and let us pray?
But there's more, there's many obstacles still to come.
Many obstacles.
I mean, there are many obstacles, and one is the problem she has with
God, we come against this, the drug addiction in Jesus' name. We curse it in the name of Jesus. And we're asking, Father, that you would release Julie completely and that you would bless her in the effort that she is making and that your spirit would even encourage her with greater effort to take these steps in the name of Jesus. She is your lamb. We just reach our hands toward her and say, in the name of Jesus, the blessing, the blessing, the blessing, the blessing, Almighty God. Jesus. Amen. 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 Well, I don't know what you've come here to do, but I have come to
praise the Lord.
Nancy, we are here.
The right one.
I especially like that scripture Greg read to us this morning. I hope we heard the words of it. As for you, because of and for the sake of the covenant of the Lord with his people, which is, what is that covenant? The blood of Jesus.
It's a blood covenant.
The blood covenant. He says, I'm going to restore unto you. Return to your stronghold of security and prosperity. Who is that stronghold? Jesus is that stronghold. I was talking to the Lord about something this week, and he gave me these words, you are the redeemed of the Lord. You are. Call it for it. You have everything that was given you at Calvary. Health, prosperity, fullness of my spirit. It is all yours in my name. Use the gift I've given you, he says, the gift of my spirit. There is power in my name. Use it. There is power in my blood. Proclaim it. Victory is yours, and you are walking in it. Before you know it, it will be a reality. The songs I chose this morning have to do with the love of Jesus. I think too often we lose sight of that love. Sometimes I wonder if we take it for granted. And I just really wanted us to focus upon the reality of his love. No greater love can a man have than to lay down his life for a friend. And that's what we are, a friend, a child. And he has laid down his life for you, for me. He shed his blood that we might have hope, and that we might walk in newness of life. That's what he has done for us. So let's stand as we sing. I have a song that Jesus gave me. I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. It's the melody above. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody of love. I love the Christ who died on Calvary, for he washed my sins away. Put within my heart a melody, and I know it's here to stay. In my heart there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody of love. I have a song that Jesus gave. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. 'Tis the melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody. A melody. A melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. A melody of love. Christ who died on Calvary, for he washed my sins away. He put within my heart a melody, and I know it's there to stay. In my heart there rings a melody, a melody, a melody with heaven's harmony. In my there rings a melody, a melody, a melody of love. Now let's loosen up a bit and let's do some actions with these words. I'm my beloved and he is mine. I'm my beloved and he is mine. Ever present in our lives. I will rejoice.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Flow, people. You know, God has chosen you and me to be instruments of His love. Into the desert. that he has chosen you and me to be those instruments of setting the captives free. And it's his joy and his love and his peace that should be abounding in our lives. You know, oftentimes it doesn't necessarily mean we have to say anything. Those things are just so much a part of our life. They cannot help but touch other people's lives. I look forward to the time the word was spoken. Every 9 out of 10 will come to you and ask, what is it that you have? I want my life to be so changed and so different that people will want to know, what is it that you have? Tell me about it. I want that in my life too. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. To Calvary did go.
Purpose,
purpose. The message this morning has to do with God's purposes and man's free will. They seem to be in conflict oftentimes. And we're going to look at a couple scriptures that examine that idea and see how we can apply some of those principles to us. And with that, I should probably give this story to Neil so he could use it for a future children's sermon, but I'm going to go ahead and read it anyway. I have a little story to start things off with. A woman named Gladys Talbot wrote this in the Moody Press. She tells a story about three little trees who wanted to be something in life. The first tree wanted to be a pretty cradle when it grew up. One day, some people came to the forest and cut the tree down. The tree was hewn in rough pieces and carelessly put together to form a crude manger in a stable in Bethlehem. The little tree was disappointed because it was shoved into a dark cave with no one to see it but some cattle. One day, however, God laid there his own babe, the Son of God. The manger quivered with delight. Oh, this is wonderful, and all my dreams I never thought to hold a baby like this. This is better than all my planning. Why, I am part of a miracle. Years passed by, and men came to the forest to cut down the second tree. The tree aspired to be a great ship when it grew up. But the little tree did not do great things. It was not made into a great vessel, but instead, it became a tiny fishing boat owned by a simple Galilean fisherman named Peter. The little boat was most unhappy. One day it stood by the shore of the Sea of Galilee, dejected and disappointed. A crowd had gathered by the shore, and because of the multitude, a man called Jesus stepped into the little boat and taught the people from it. "This is wonderful," it whispered. "In all my dreams and planning, I never thought I would be used as part of a miracle." After some months, men came to the forest to cut down the third tree. This tree just wanted to remain on the hillside and point to God. But men did not leave the little tree alone. They tore away its branches, they cut into its bark, and deeper into its very heart. They hewed it apart and put it together again in the form of a crude cross. The little tree quivered through all its being. "This is terrible," it whispered. "They're going to use me to hang someone. Oh, I never wanted this to happen to me. I only wanted to point to God. This is awful." One day outside of Jerusalem, a great crowd gathered. In the midst of the crowd was Jesus, and beside him was the cross. After nailing him to the cross, the little tree heard words of forgiveness and peace that were offered to the whole world. Then Christ completed his work of redemption and gave up the ghost. And the cross began to understand. "This is wonderful," it whispered. "In all my dreams, I never thought that I could point to God in this way. I am part of a miracle. This is better than all my planning." The question I wanted to raise is, everything that happens in our lives, God's will. Does God's will happen, or is there something else that happens? And I guess the point would be that our will is not always in line with God's will. What we want and what direction we want to take with our lives is not always...
Thank you. Anyway, God's purposes for our life are not always the same as our own. So I'd like to look at a few scriptures that bring this point out. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 46 to start off with. Isaiah 46 verse 10 and 11. Once I find it. Here it is. 46:10. "I will make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east I summon a bird of prey, from a far-off land a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that I will bring about. What I have planned, that will I do." God's pretty clear about what he wants and what he says and how permanent his word is. He's decreed many things towards us. And a similar verse, you don't have to turn there, Psalm 33, verse 11. The plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. So God's ultimate plans and purposes are not subject to what we want or our timetable or our concept of what he's trying to bring about. God's purposes are freestanding, and they will be they will come about. We see some examples in Scripture of people who sought to change God's will, move God in a different direction other than what his direction and plan was, and we know the outcome. That's what's really neat about the Word of God, is that we have examples of other people who are a lot like us, who had problems a lot like us. And the man that I'm thinking about right off the top of my head would be Jonah. Jonah was given something to do by God. God wanted to bring about a work of repentance in Nineveh, and he sent a man of his to do it, and that man decided that those people weren't worthy to receive God's forgiveness, and so he said, no, I'm not going to go there, I'm going somewhere else. And we all know how God changed Jonah's mind about fulfilling what he was supposed to do. I was thinking that when Jesus gave the disciples the Lord's Prayer, that must be a lot of what he had in mind when he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Because there is that human element in fulfilling God's will, and our flesh doesn't always want to line up with it. So that prayer, I think, is for us. We're not asking that God's will be done, because we know God's will be done. But our participation in it can change if our hearts aren't prepared. And so that was the hope that I have this morning, is that we can see that we do have a choice to line up with what God wants, and we have a choice to try to go our own way. Ultimately, God's greater purposes will be fulfilled in the kingdom, in earth as it is in heaven. But his ultimate desires and dreams and hopes for us can be changed by our will and by our desire to step out of it. I'd like to look at another set of scriptures in Deuteronomy. We'll start in Deuteronomy chapter 30, and we'll look down through there. Men really do have a choice to do what God has asked them to do or not. God has created us with that thing called a free will, and that free will sometimes poses problems. Let's look at Deuteronomy 30, verse 11 through 20. Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend to heaven and get it and proclaim to us so that we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you're drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God has a perfect plan for us, and it is what? Life. Blessing. Prosperity. There's the other side. Death. Destruction. It's our choice. We've got that life that we can choose. He's giving us a choice to choose to live. That, not only that, notice that he also speaks not only to us, but to the ones that follow, so that you will live and your children. And I think that's an important thing to remember, that we aren't little islands that just walk around through this life free to do as we please, to obey God or to not, and ultimately only to affect ourselves. We're, as Neil said, we're signs. We're little markers, if you will, on the road for other people to look at and to follow. And we are to be a sign of what God has promised, blessing, prosperity. And if our life is not exhibiting the blessing and prosperity that God wants to give us, then it's our choice, or not our choice, but our real, our unction, I guess, it's put upon us to follow him and to prove that, to prove that his word is true, to prove that life is to be full and rich and free. Choose life so that you and your children may live. But men always don't receive God's best. Neil's story referred to the Pharisees, and we're going to take a quick look at Luke chapter 7, verse 30. There's a key phrase here that I want us to look at. Luke chapter 7, verse 30. The Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's purpose for themselves, not having been baptized by John. Jesus was commenting, you know, he was noticing their resistance to what the Spirit of God was trying to do in his ministry. And these are the guys who were supposed to be the signposts and the guides. The ones, the scribes and Pharisees, are the ones that related God's word to the people and related his desires to the people. But they rejected him. They rejected God's purpose for themselves. It is possible to subvert the will of God in your life. Another one that I'd like to look at and spend some time with, really the meat of what I wanted to look at, was the life of another man who represented God's will or had the potential of displaying God's will in action. And that story of this man we'll pick up in 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel 12, starting in about verse 12. Just a little background. Up to this point in time, the kingdom of Israel was ruled by judges. These were men that were appointed through the office of the prophets to oversee God's people, to act as sort of an intermediary, to decide in matters of human need, whether, you know, legal things, legal issues, and so forth. But ultimately, the people of Israel had a king, and that king was God himself. And the nation of Israel noticed as they looked around that other nations had physical guys, a man to sit on a throne that they could bring their homage to, bring their desires to, bring their cares and woes to. God wanted to fulfill that purpose in the nation of Israel, but that wasn't good enough. That was, the people of Israel had spoken aloud, and they said, I want a man to sit on a throne. So God said, well, that's not my perfect will for you, but okay, I'll grant your wish. So let's look at 1 Samuel 12, starting in about verse 12. When you saw that Nahash, the king of the sons of Ammon, came against you, you said to me, no, but a king shall reign over us, although the Lord your God was your king. Now, therefore, here is the king whom you've chosen, which would be Saul, whom you've asked for, and behold, the Lord has set a king over you. If you will fear the Lord and serve him, and listen to his voice, and not rebel against the command of the Lord, then both you and the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God. Notice the condition there. This king will only be good so far as you still follow me, and then I will bless you, I will bless him, and your nation will be blessed, if you will fear the Lord and serve him. Verse 15, and if you will not listen to the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the command of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your fathers. Even now, take your stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not the wheat harvest today? I will call to the Lord that he may send thunder and rain. Then you will know and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord by asking for yourselves a king. So Samuel called to the Lord. The Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. Again, God took an alternative path beyond his perfect will for the people, yet he set it up. This will be a good one too. We'll still get there if you will do these things. And just to seal this, to show you that Samuel is not just talking hot air, here's a miracle. I'm going to send thunder and rain in the midst of drought so that you will know that I am sealing this king for you. And I will perform all that I have said I will perform in behalf of Saul, on behalf of yourself. So that's what God said. He basically gave him a decision. Okay, you've chosen to reject me. Okay, well, here's the path. You have a king. Do plan B, but make plan B work. And, well, we know what happened. Let's look at down a few verses to verses 24 and 25. Fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, both you and your king shall be swept away. So again, God has decided that it's all up to them. He's put it in their hands. They can choose to follow him and follow Saul and follow the commands of God, or the whole kit and caboodle will be swept away. Let's skip down a few more verses to chapter 13. Down to verses about 8 through 13. Now he waited 7 days according to the appointed time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come. Remember that that God gave some specific instruction through Samuel to Saul. Saul was to go and wait, and when Samuel came, an offering was to be given, and then God would bless their efforts in battle. And so we know that Saul got impatient. Saul said, bring to me, in verse 9, the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came about, as soon as he finished offering the burnt offering, that behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and greet him. But Samuel said, what have you done? Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come within the appointed days, and the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, therefore I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not asked the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering. Samuel said to Saul, you have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord your God has commanded you. So bottom line is what? Saul didn't follow the direction of God, and the kingdom was taken away from him. So we know that it really wasn't God's will at all that they even have a king. So he gave them a plan B. They couldn't handle it, and God had to ultimately go to plan C. And what was plan C? Ultimately, we find out, hundreds of years later, that his plan was to get back to plan A, really, and that was to establish his own throne again through his son Jesus, to be ultimate king over the nation of Israel. So God's plans ultimately will survive and persevere over man. God will allow us detours along the way to get back to his plan, I think. Sometimes we spend our whole life on the detour and almost never get back on the road. But hopefully we can learn from Saul and others that, you know, God is there all the time waiting to receive us and to hear us. So how can we get back on the plan? How can we stay on plan A, or God's path for us? And how can we get there? I don't know. I see a lot of New Testament scriptures of encouragement to bring us to where God's perfect will is. It'd be, I don't know, one story came to my mind that I wanted to share. We have so many promises of God and so many wonderful things to promise us, his power and his support, and yet we oftentimes fall short. And it reminded me of a story that I was told when I was in Air Force boot camp. I might have told you guys this before, so if I had, bear with it. But bottom line was, there was in Vietnam, there was a military infirmary that was staffed by Air Force people. And at that point in time in the Vietnam War, the Air Force people were kind of, you know, if you're medical, you were medical. If you're on an air crew, you're on an air crew. They didn't have infantry per se. And so the rank and file were not taught how to use weapons. They weren't taught how to use rifles. And ultimately, this little dispensary was ambushed, and they were all wiped out. And when the troops came back and they found, the American troops came back and found this little Air Force dispensary wiped out, they were shocked to find all the weapons still neatly stacked and all the ammo in its place, because the troops weren't taught how to use it. And I think that's really our responsibility, is to find the Word of God, take the passages that He's bringing to us to bring life to us, and use it, or else we, like those airmen, will be wiped out. The enemy will come and overrun us if we don't use the Word of God appropriately. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 1. 2 Peter 1, 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received, that's us, a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything, everything, pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason, also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. In your knowledge, self-control. In your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. In your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours, and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind, short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent, and here's the key, to make certain about his calling and choosing. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. I know in my walk with the Lord, I've stumbled often and frequently, and you just have to get back to this. There's specific things that we can do to keep ourselves on the path, keeping our calling and election sure. Again, verse 10, NIV says, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail, and you'll receive a rich welcome in the kingdom of God. So it's our job to stay on the path. It isn't God's job to make His will happen in our life. It's ours. God has set things in motion. He set physical laws, spiritual laws in place to keep us on track. And as long as we're willing to do these things, again, there's a list. You could actually just make a numbered list and write them down in this passage. Starting in verse 5, let's look at that again. Add to your faith goodness. Add to goodness knowledge. Okay, so it's not just enough to have faith, is it? We know in James, the word says that we're to show our faith by our actions. And that's what he's saying again here. We have to add something to that faith, goodness, and add to that goodness, knowledge. You have to get in the Word of God. It's not enough just to stand by and sleep with your Bible in your drawer in your nightstand, or, you know, even under your pillow. The Word of God won't absorb into your head by keeping your Bible under your pillow. You have to get into it and absorb the knowledge that's in it. Self-control. We don't like that word in the 90s, do we? We like to just, whatever feels good to our flesh, do it. Whatever makes you happy, go for it. What's right for you is right for you in the 90s morality, right? But that's not what the Word says. We have to practice self-control. And then another one, perseverance. How many times have we felt that the entire world was caving in on us? That sickness will creep in and knock you down physically. Financial distress will come down and knock you down financially. God, where are you? My back hurts. God, where are you? My wallet is empty. God, where are you? He's teaching us perseverance. We've all seen it. None of us in this room are yet in the grave, so we have to persevere to receive all that God has for us. Adding to that perseverance, godliness. Well, what's godliness? The Word says that we're to be holy as He is holy. How is He holy? Well, read about Jesus. Find out how He was. The little bracelets and slogans and stuff. What would Jesus do? We've been trying to get that across to the kids. You know, in any circumstance, and if it's on an athletic field and the coach is not observing your keen skills and using them to the best advantage, what would Jesus do? Would He, you know, be belligerent and get in the coach's face and mouth off, or would He just be humble and take His place that's given to Him? I mean, you know, in every circumstance, your parent has falsely accused you of stealing a cookie that your sister stole, you know, what would Jesus do? That's godliness. We have to add godliness to where we're at. To godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness, I looked that up, and the word there again is Philadelphia, but in the Greek, but it also adds that nature of family respect, family kindness. There's a certain level of kindness that you're supposed to extend to your family, to your father, mother, sisters, and brothers, and that is a kind of relationship that we often withhold from other people. And that's when, you know, in the Christian church, hey brother, hey sister, it's more than just a slogan, it's a reality. That is your brother, that is your sister. Treat them with that kindness that you would a physical brother and a physical sister, a physical mother and father. Well, I promise I'd keep it short, and I'm going to keep it short. I want to conclude with another passage of Scripture. God's will, just do it. And that's if you can walk away with anything like the Nike thing, just do it. God gives us pretty simple. He made it straight. I can't complicate it. I won't complicate it. And there's nothing else left to do but to just do it. So let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5, and I just want to speak this over each one of us as a prayer. 1 Thessalonians, starting in verse 5, go down through verse, pretty much to the end of that chapter, down to verse 28. I've probably spoken this before, but what I thought was kind of cute, and I think it works, I've drawn little bees in my Bible, drew a little picture of a bee. Whenever God says to be something, it just, you know, I look and I see a bee in the margin somewhere. Oh, here's something I'm supposed to be. It works. Be joyful. Always. Okay. Always? All right. Even if President Clinton's a jerk and the IRS is going nuts and my boss doesn't understand me? The bank just took away my car?
What chapter verse?
Supposed to be 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. Did I write it down wrong? I might have. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in 16, down through the end of the chapter. Being joyful always. Pray continually. Even if you're tired, even if you don't want to get up early in the morning to do it, even if life is getting you down and you're depressed, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. And that's something that gets etched on your heart through life, doesn't it? being thankful in all circumstances. For this is what? God's will. You don't need to. You don't, I heard it said, and this is probably true, you really don't need to pray and ask God's will. It's here. He said, "What? It's like, God, I need dinner." Well, you've got Kentucky Fried Chicken sitting on the plate there. You don't need dinner. It's right there. Eat it. God's will. It's right there. This is God's will for you, it says, in Christ Jesus. I'm going to read it again. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will. You don't have to pray that the circumstances go away, although it doesn't hurt to pray that they go away. But God ultimately will lift those circumstances when he's accomplished his will. So that is what we need to pray is, God, what are you trying to teach me so that we can get on with life? Don't take it away. I don't want him to take away the bad circumstances until I've grabbed from them what I'm supposed to. I really believe that with all my heart, that if I'm dealing with being disrespected on the job, let's say, well, God, don't make everybody respect me. What am I supposed to do? Am I you teaching me humility in this? Well, God, let me learn it. And I know that those circumstances will be lifted as soon as that life lesson has been taught. This is God's will. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. And how many times do we attempt to put out the Spirit's fire with our prayers? The Spirit's fire might be leading you into that position that you're in right now. Don't pray for it to go away. Pray for it to fulfill. Pray for it to continue. Don't put out God's Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. When God gives you a prophetic word, grab it, hold on to it, write it down, put it in your Bible. When you have your prayer time, God, you've spoken this concerning me. Hold on to it. If you don't, what are you doing? You're despising it. If you just take it, roll it up in a ball and throw it away, what purpose did God accomplish in you? To show that you can throw a piece of paper away? He wants to accomplish something in your heart. Don't treat prophecy with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Everything that comes our way needs to be tested. Spirit of God, what is going on? I need to know, and confirm it by your word. Confirm it through the mouth of a brother or sister in Christ, and let me hold on to it. If it's not, it's not. We've all received things from other people that weren't ultimately right, but that doesn't mean we reject it immediately. Test it. Don't just shut people off. I'll turn on TV, and I'll see a particular minister on there that just... grubs me the wrong way. I just can't even barely listen to hear the man talk. God doesn't say reject it. Test everything. Because there is truth in every servant of God. There's an extreme in certain servants and extreme in other servants, because each person has a message from the Lord, and he wants us to receive what is right and good for us. Avoid every kind of evil. Verse 22. Avoid every kind of evil. Well, what kind? Every kind. What's evil? The Spirit of God has to reveal it to you. There are certain things that are pretty darn clear. You don't have to ask God to reveal them to you. But there are a lot of gray areas in our life. How much TV is okay to watch? There isn't a chapter and verse for that one. What kind of music do I listen to? Well, things that uplift my spirit. That has to be something that comes from God. God has to be your barometer. We saw the gauges. God has to be the gauge for you. Verse 23, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. And then Paul closes in prayer, and I want to close with the same prayer. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. You know what I'd like to do, since I wrap that up pretty quick? I want to play a song for you on a tape. And would that be okay? All right. I brought it. I didn't know if I was going to use it. And it speaks about God our help. Guess I better...
get some help.
I need some help. This song is an updated version of an old hymn, and if you want to follow along, it's in your hymn book, number 8. Oh God, our help in ages past. Why don't we all stand up, and just, I would encourage you to do as the Spirit of God leads you to do in worship in this song. Worthy, Lord. We just ask again that you would be our help, Lord, that you would be our shield in a time of distress, our comforter in a time of need, and just our friend when we're friendless, Lord. We just thank you for being our all in all. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want you to know that song just really stirred up the Spirit of God inside me. And I'm very much aware of the heavy flesh that we're carrying and religious spirits that we're carrying. We're so afraid of what other people think, in front of us, behind us, beside us. And I literally sense the Spirit of God, you're going to have to go for the gold. And everything that means, that really takes the discipline and that really takes the determination. I will have what Jesus Christ has made available to me. I will be all that he has created me to be for his glory, honor, and praise. And I don't care what anyone thinks about how I may act or react or what. I will proclaim your greatness. I will shout the victory that is mine in Jesus' name. I will. Hallelujah. Ooh. Thank you, Lord.
With the word of the Lord. We're so happy to have our guest with us today.
Wow.
I get you. I was in. I want to keep it quiet.
No, that's great.
Isn't it neat? Yeah, that the Promise Keepers.
Oh, I love that.
Tape. Yeah.
All that organ behind it.
Yeah, they do that. They have a couple of them like that. They saw on this tape, but A Mighty Fortress is.
It's good too.
It's never been done like that before, and boy, I tell you. They had a satellite link between one stadium of 50,000 and another stadium in Florida of 50,000. Everybody
just
going for it.
Put the one on
Fred.
Yeah.
I can't say that enough. There is a lot of heavy flesh burdening us, pushing us down. There is a lot. And it just may take, you're looking like a fool to get out from under that bondage that we're under. Because it's been paid for already. I noticed in my spirit, I've just been, I will have everything that you've said, and I will be, I am everything that you've made available for me. I am, and I'm going to see it. And I'm not going to be satisfied with anything less than what you said.
I carry that word that was, in streams several days back, something about being bold, and I think that's another thing, be bold about it.
I want a copy of that.
Oh, you'll love it. They're Stand Up For Jesus. Same way.
I want a copy of that, Ned.
That's a great, really a good tape.